This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We are going to get right into it. That's what everybody wants to hear. That's what we want to talk about. It's time for the Yankee Pinstripe Report on 98.7 ESPN, and it's brought to you by White Plains Hospital. What the Yankees did yesterday in their 7-5 loss to the Rays was so mind-numbingly bad that there's no way to defend it. I'll explain why they did it, and I'll try to explain why I think it was mind-numbingly bad. But the bottom line is, the Yankees wanted to show you that they are the smartest guy in the room. They were just a little too cute. Now, people look at the team they did it against, the Rays, and they'll say, well, the Rays were the ones who originated the opener. You know why they did that? They did that because they didn't have enough starters that they can depend on. So they would have a relief pitcher open the game and then bring up a younger starter who's not that ready to start a game to give them maybe three innings in the middle, the bulk pitcher. They did it out of necessity. Necessity is the mother of invention. The Yankees have enough starters. You could have gone so many ways in yesterday's game. You could have elected to start Tanaka. You could have elected to start Happ. You could have elected to start Montgomery. Or you could have elected to start the kid, Davey Garcia. When they chose Davey Garcia, if you've been listening to the show, I said it's a curious decision, and I wonder if they're just going to use him to open. Now, I thought that what they were going to do was use him for three innings. Get him through a lineup once, maybe 1.5 times, and then try to flip the lineup. They did the unconscionable. They took a kid who the other 29 teams in baseball would actually give the Yankees one of the top prospects in all of their system and more to get Davey Garcia, a 21-year-old who had one bad start against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Otherwise, he acquitted himself beautifully, never flustered, never ever got into a jam where he felt that he couldn't get out of it. Just not that sort of kid. Filled with confidence, brimming to the brim, whatever, with everything that you'd want in a pitcher. At 21, Pedro Martinez said, he's going to be better than me. Now, that might border on the hyperbolic, but that's how people think about this kid in the game. And you used him for 27 pitches. Now, please don't tell me because he threw the 27 pitches is the reason that you went to Happ. That was the plan all along. This game was played out before the game in a boardroom by a computer. Because at the first batter that came up, Jay Happ started warming up at Petco. He started warming up. So you knew he was coming in for the second, no matter the fact that the kid gave up a home run. So what, he gave up a home run. By the time the second inning came around, the Yankees had already tied it on a Stanton home run. Mm-hmm. So none of it makes sense. None of it. Here's the way I equate what the Yankees did. They wanted the Rays to do what the Rays did toward the end of the season, become the first team in history to field an all left-handed hitting lineup. That's assuming that the Rays are morons. Like the Rays didn't see, if Michael Kay saw that this is what they were going to do, you don't think that the Rays kind of knew what they were going to do? So what the Rays did was they started five left-handed batters. Five. And I don't know if you noticed this, everybody. I'm sure the Yankees did after it happened. They brought in Jay Happ, who has decent numbers against lefty, but he's not a shutdown left-handed starter where you would never start a lefty against Jay Happ. He's just not that guy. He's not that guy. So how many people did Kevin Cash pinch hit for with Jay Happ in the game? None. And by bringing in Happ, he gave up a home run to Mike Zunino, a right-handed batter who can't hit righties. He's in there because he's a good catcher. And then Manuel Margot. So not only did he not flip the lineup, it actually benefited them when they brought in the lefty, Jay Happ. One other thing that the Yankees didn't take into account. When you use an opener, and Tyler Kepner in the New York Times had this quote from Chaim Bloom, who was part of the Rays organization when they started doing the opener, I believe it was in 2018. He said, if your people don't buy in to the strategy, it mitigates the strategy to an extent. If anybody watched the Yes Post game yesterday, all you had to do was see the look on Jay Happ's face. He did not want to do this. He did it because he was asked. He told the Yankees, I'm more comfortable starting. This guy at 37 years old is a creature of habit. When he doesn't pitch on turn, he's not as effective. Now all of a sudden you're asking him to come in from the bullpen in the middle of a game, yes, to start an inning where he's not comfortable. So by not buying in, you have mitigated whatever slight advantage you had. Also, you're treating the Tampa Bay Rays lineup as if it's the Yankee lineup. The Rays are a middle-of-the-pack offense. I think they're 12th in baseball in runs scored. They don't scare anybody. You don't have to plan against them. Here's an idea. How about letting the kid pitch? How about seeing if he could get those guys out? They're not that dangerous. I mean, they're not a scary lineup like Stanton and Judge and LeMay. Oh, the Yankee lineup is scary. One final thing. This is how I equate what the Yankees did yesterday. Mike Tyson climbs into a boxing ring, and his opponent is Pee Wee Herman.
Wow, it's an interesting matchup.
And Tyson insists that they play Jeopardy instead of box. That's what the Yankees did. The Yankees are so good. Their lineup is so good that they should be able to bludgeon the best pitchers they did in the first three games and score enough runs to support their pitching. Instead, they wanted to play 3D chess when their advantage is, oh, by the way, we have more talent than this team. Now, the Rays might be a better team doing all the little things, but from 1 to 28, the Yankees have a payroll over $200 million. The Rays have the third lowest payroll in all of baseball, and you've got a scheme and strategize to get through this team? And I'm not saying the Rays are bad. They're the second best team in baseball according to the record. But this is the team that you have to go over the top. It's very difficult. If I could give them one more bit of advice, it is very difficult for anybody to be the smartest guy in the room when the guy in the corner sipping a daiquiri is Albert Einstein. The Rays aren't dumb. The Rays invented being smart. The Rays are in the playoffs with the second best record in baseball with the third lowest payroll. You think they're smart? I think they're pretty smart. So why do you have to flex your brain when you've got the muscle? I don't get what the Yankees did. And if they end up losing this series, I'm not saying they will. They have a very good chance to win. But if they end up losing this series, mark my words, everyone in baseball will point to what happened yesterday and go, that's where it turned. That's where they gave the Rays life.
And I have a request for everybody that's listening and on hold or about to call in to complain about this, because we're going to get inundated with phone calls. Do not go down the road that Brian Anderson and Ron Darling did during the broadcast. Do not go down the road with the promo we had from Mike Greenberg before the show started. This is not an Aaron Boone decision. Can we stop with the whole, I can't believe Boone did that. This is why Boone's over his head. This is why Boone doesn't know how to manage a big spot. This is not an Aaron Boone decision. This was a Yankee decision. Now, Boone might have been involved in the conversation, but Michael, this is not a manager on a whim deciding to go with a starter. This isn't him getting a gut decision at the end of the first inning, I'm going to take Garcia out, put in Hap. As you said, this was done in a boardroom before the game started. This was done in a boardroom, Michael, before the series started. So yep. Please do not make it out to be, this is why Boone is awful. Boone has to go. Because this was an organizational decision. And this is what's dangerous in sports. And this is what's really dangerous for baseball. And this is why I think people are getting frustrated with the game. It's enough to win. Why do you have to do it your way and prove the whole world that we're so much smarter than everybody else? You're not playing three-dimensional chess. You're playing baseball. You had a perfectly good starter in Tanaka to go out there and pitch game two and take a 2-0 series lead. You also had a very capable pitcher starting the game. So what? He gave up a home run. Guess what? Home runs are flying out all over the place. Cole even gave up a home run. Let the kid pitch. And then if he gets in some trouble, then make some decisions. He could have went 3-4 innings yesterday. He could have probably went longer than that. Who knows? Probably couldn't any do worse than Hap did.
How about start Hap so he could be comfortable?
Yourself.
How about starting Hap so he could be comfortable? Why put him in a situation where he's not comfortable?
That's a great point.
I don't get it. I don't understand what they did. And it's so frustrating. And I got to tell you, I'm glad you brought up the part about Boone, Don. Listen, I'm biased. I really like the guy. I think all three of us do. I think he's a smart baseball guy. But he knew what he was getting into. And the rules of engagement on this organization and most organizations, I'm not going to pin it on the Yankees, is it is a collaborative effort. Now, during the game, Boone's managing. Managing, obviously, off information that's given to him and stats and stuff like that. His job is to employ those stats. Find lanes for pitchers, all of that. But when you make a decision like this, and if you think that Aaron Boone unilaterally said, I'm going to start Davey Garcia and keep him in for 27 pitches and then go to Hap, you don't know the way the game is played. And here's the one thing I would ask all of the baseball teams throughout the world. I think Aaron Boone, I believe, makes $850,000 to be manager of the Yankees. Nice living. And one of the things, one of the part of the job description, you go out there and you get flogged when these decisions don't go right. It's on you. You own it, and you explain why you did it. How about all of the really bright guys, and I'm not knocking those guys. Those guys could buy and sell me when it comes to brains, although I'm very bright. But
very bright.
Every single one of the analytic crew, if everybody wants to be transparent now, get up there on the podium and explain the numbers that made you make a move that has been universally panned in baseball. Every one of them. Stand there with your iPad. Don't put it all on Boone. Although that's part of Boone's job.
Yeah.
But show your face. This is the these are the people that came up with this ridiculous plan. These are the people. And they're going to explain to you what algorithms made them think that this was the way to go. Instead, Aaron Boone gets trashed by Yankee Nation. They're all killing him. You got to get rid of him. Why? He's doing exactly what the front office wants. And I said it before. All of these front office-driven teams, they have no right ever, ever to fire a manager who's in lockstep with their decisions. It's not the manager's fault. This is an organizational situation where they said, Davey Garcia for one inning, bring in Hap, then we'll get Kevin Cash to flip his lineup, which I never even understood. Because if you're going to get Kevin Cash to flip his lineup to all right-handed, how does that hurt Kevin Cash? Your two-est high-leverage relievers are Britton and Chapman. How does that help? Because then you've got all the right-handers that you want against those two lefties in the eighth and the ninth inning. So please, from now on, let the really smart people come up on the podium and answer the questions instead of just Aaron Boone. Because Aaron Boone yesterday looked like he was going to cry. And Aaron Boone, I'm not saying he's a puppet manager. Please don't take that the wrong way. Because during the game, that's his purview. Working off stats that he and the squad have actually accumulated. But who's going to start that game? That's not a unilateral decision by Aaron Boone. I'm sorry, it's not. He could say all he wants. It's not. That came from the computer guys. This is the way we should do it. This is the way it works out. This is the way we could get them to flip the lineup.
Right.
Listen, I understand analytics work, but I'm coming more toward the side of what Don's always said. I think they work over a long season. I don't know if they work in a short season. I don't know if they work in the playoffs, because as smart as the Yankees are, and they're one of the smartest organizations in baseball, with the added benefit of an incredibly high payroll, so they could go out and get whomever they want. They have not won a championship since 2009, which would lead you to believe they probably always have one of the best teams, and they still have not been able to win a World Series in 11 years. So doesn't that tell you that in a short postseason, because Billy Beane has always said that as well, all of this secret stuff sauce really works during 162. It's a crapshoot in the postseason. So my advice would be, when it becomes a crapshoot, how about this? Little secret, little thing maybe. How about letting Aaron Boone just wing it? Let him, a guy who's been in baseball since he was born, let him just wing it and go by his gut. He knows exactly what Hap can do. He knows what Garcia can do. He knows how they're feeling. He knows what's going on in their family life. How about let him manage by the gut in the short season?
Well, but the whole, or at least have the option to. I mean, I understand you have a plan, and this is what these guys are here for, so you come up with said plan. The question, I guess, is, does Boone even have the latitude if yesterday he was feeling differently? You know, like for whatever reason, the home run that Garcia gives up in the first, it makes him rethink it. And he goes, you know what? He already gave a home run. He gave up a home run. We just got to run back. Let's go with the kid a little bit longer here. Does he even have the latitude to make that decision if he feels it?
I think if he makes a decision and it blows up, he's going to get in trouble.
So he could do it, but he just knows every time. It's not the old school manager ramifications of you get up in the presser afterwards.
And that's why, Peter, if you watch Yes or now watch MLB, one of the smartest baseball people who ever lived, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a huge fan. He's one of the smartest baseball people who has ever set foot on this planet. Buck Showalter is going to find it extraordinarily difficult to get a job because he's not going to let somebody manage for him. He takes all the stats and believes in analytics, but when it comes push to shove, he's going to tell you who's going to start game two, not somebody with an iPad. He's not getting a job unless somebody suspends this analytical religion where you must follow it or you get excommunicated. And I think that Buck has been excommunicated out of the game. I don't think Tony La Russa, if he was 60 years old now, could get a job in this game. I don't think Jim Leland could get a job in this game. Joe Torre couldn't. So
now I think that
was part of the problem, Peter, with Joe Girardi, because Joe pushed back a little bit, and they don't want pushing back.
We're all sort of jumping here to defend Boone, and to your point, you're right, we do all like him. But you've also said before that Boone's very much in on analytics. So
he is.
We don't know that he wasn't fully in favor of this operation last
year. I don't think that anybody that would have been hired after Girardi was let go would not have been in on analytics. They would not have gotten the job. Boone believes in this stuff. But absolute rules are absolutely ridiculous. There has to be some wiggle room away from making such a dumb decision as they did yesterday. They almost won the game. They rallied in the ninth inning, and this would have all been forgotten. Instead, they lost a game that they shouldn't have lost, where Giancarlo Stanton hits two home runs against Glasnow, who's filthy. They scored four runs. That's plenty of runs to win.
Now let's get to the reasoning behind it. Like, you could say it was because they wanted to show off how much smarter they are than everybody else, but you talked about the necessity that sometimes openers are used for because you just don't have the pitching. Is this, like, forget about the analytics. Is this a situation where maybe they don't have faith in this starting pitcher?
Probably right. That's part of it.
So they figured we're going to have to do this at some point. But we only have faith in Cole and Tanaka. We don't have faith in anybody else. Not Happ, not Montgomery, not Garcia. We don't have faith in anybody else except these two guys. We've got to get three wins and then eventually four wins, two more series in order to win a championship. We're going to have to do this. So let's just do it in game two so that Tanaka can clean up the mess and we're still up two games to none, rather than do it in game three, where if Tanaka did mess up or you lost a close game, now that plan is to save the season. So I think we got to look at that, Michael, that maybe they don't have faith, that maybe they're light on pitching, much lighter than we thought, and this is something that we're going to see again. Even though it didn't work last night, when Cole and Tanaka aren't pitching, Michael, I think this might be the plan going forward. And I don't know if they've got enough pitching to win this championship now. Well, or at least I'm not sure they believe they've got enough.
They probably don't. And, you know, I was critical that they didn't have enough bullpen to win 13 games. But I will tell you this. You have now put yourself in this situation. You used Happ yesterday, and you used Garcia yesterday. If the Yankees lose tonight, you know who's saving their season or trying to save their season tomorrow? Jordan Montgomery, their fifth starter. Nice pitcher. Probably a fourth or fifth starter in the big leagues. That's who you're going to. And then, if they win that game to stay alive, they have to pitch Gerrit Cole on 3 days rest for the first time in his life. That's why, don't play games yesterday. Go for it. You believe in Davey Garcia. You called him up as a 21-year-old. He won big games for you. He pitched well. Let him pitch.
See, that's the thing, Michael. If you pitch Garcia and he wets the bed, right? Then you could say, all right, well, next time around, we're going to have to do this because we don't have anybody else. But maybe you discover, maybe you find out that in the postseason, this kid could be just as good as he was in the regular season, and now you don't have the problem. Why did you just assume you have the problem? Why do you lack faith in Garcia? He was great during the course of the year. Unless they just, because he wasn't that highly touted a prospect, right? I mean, so is it that they just never really bought in? The way they buy, like the opposite of Sanchez, right? Like, they just believe in Sanchez despite the numbers. Maybe they just don't believe in Garcia despite the numbers. But let him go out there, and maybe he pulls a John Candelaria in 79 out of nowhere, pitches like a great game, and then you didn't have to go there. And then Tanaka finishes them off tonight, and then you kind of reset for the next series. But why did it have to be
then? Why couldn't? But just because he gave up a home run? I got news for you, Michael. Everybody's giving up home runs. It's ridiculous. They're making Petco Park look like it's Fenway.
That's what I want to make sure everybody understands. That home run meant nothing. He was going one inning. It could have been a 1-2-3 inning. It was Jay Happ in the second. And it's those kind of hard and fast rules that spit out of a computer that I just think are ridiculous. I just think they're ridiculous. And if you have to outsmart a team to win with a $220 million payroll, you know what? You haven't spent your money wisely. If I'm Hal Steinbrenner sitting in my office in Tampa, I'm going, what the hell's going on? Wait, and this team has a payroll of $50 million. We have a payroll of $220 million, and we have to reinvent the wheel to win game two of a series? If I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I'm red hot. Why am I spending all this money? Listen, if we're going to be a total analytics team, then let me have a $50 million payroll.
And on top of that, Michael, you know what I was also thinking last night? Oh, my God, did they have to spend that money on Cole. Where would they be if they didn't spend the money on Cole? Where would they be?
They'd be in trouble because they didn't know they were going to lose Severino and Paxton. They'd be in trouble. They're in trouble now with Cole. Cole can't pitch every game. Hey, here's my problem. I believe in this team. I think this team has the potential to be a juggernaut. Their offense is suffocating for other teams. And you got to play tiddlywink games to get a win against the Tampa Bay Rays, who have are 12th in runs scored in the big leagues. That's scaring you so much that you have to play these kind of mind games? Jetty mind games. Oh, they'll flip their lineup. Then we'll have the matchup in the lanes that we want. How ridiculous does that sound?
It's almost Phil Jackson-esque when you think about it. Like, it's not enough to win. I got to win my way.
But Phil Jackson at least won 11 rings.
But I'm saying, like, but with the Knicks, it was like, we got to win with the triangle. I refuse to win unless it's with the triangle. Like, I refuse to win unless I'm embarrassing you intellectually as well. You know, it's still about putting bat on ball, throwing, catching. You still got to go out there and execute. Don't take that away from me, too. I mean, I'm watching baseball now. I feel like I'm watching two people play chess. I want to see some action. I want to see a game played where the best team goes out there. I don't care about the smartest team. Yeah, that's kind of important. That's important in some ways. But when you get onto the field, let's get it done. Even football, where it's two coaches going against each other, Peter, it's still catch the ball, throw the ball, hit the hole, score touchdowns. You know, it's incredible to me.
I would like to redirect my ire for a moment toward Major League Baseball as an entity. How is it that Major League Baseball, on its biggest stage, on national TV, would allow C.B. Buckner, who every single year grades out lowest among all Major League umpires, that umpire at home plate, how do they put him behind the plate in a game of that magnitude? How do they do the same thing with Angel Hernandez, who, by the way, is suing Major League Baseball?
How does it happen now,
if you feel that they both have to be part of the six-man crew, perfect. I've got just the thing for you. Put him in right field for the first game, which means that he'll end up at first base or third base for the fifth game. He never gets behind the plate. Why? C.B. Buckner had one of the worst games I've ever seen behind the plate for both teams. So
terrible.
The Yankees have no kick coming because the Rays also were victims of it. If Major League Baseball insists on having C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez behind the plate in these games, then you've got to tell TBS and Fox, take the box away. Take it away because it makes us look so bad.
Good point. He
successfully calls a strike, Don, 85% of the time. That's reprehensible. Well, that when you fail 15% of the time, and that really screws up hitters' heads, that you get a home plate assignment in a playoff game?
Why do you think Frazier swung at that pitch?
Absolutely.
He had to swing at that pitch.
When you say the Yankees struck out 18 times, okay, I get it. They strike out a lot. But they didn't even know what the strike zone was yesterday, and that's a team, as Aaron Boone says, they're savages in the box. They control the strike zone. And when the umpire just calls anything he wants a strike, everybody gets set back. That has nothing to do with the pitching decision, but it has to do with their offense, why they struck out 18 times. Disgraceful. Major League Baseball, check yourself. How are you assigning C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez to home plate assignments in a playoff game? How? Somebody. You got the number. Everybody in Major League Baseball has my cell phone. Call me. Tell me why that's the thing that's done. Why?
It's like the NFL putting Phil Luckett on a Super Bowl.
Right.
You just can't do it.
And that's not my opinion, Don and Peter.
No.
That's the opinion of everybody in baseball. These guys are terrible home plate umpires.
The three worst, him, Angel Hernandez, and Joe West.
Joe West, from what I've talked to people, is a pretty good home plate umpire when he's into it. The other two are terrible. Joe West annoys people,
but
he wants to throw people out. But in terms of calling balls and strikes, he's pretty good.
He's capable of it.
Yes. These two guys are not.
Well, yeah, those are the three. Like, if you even a casual baseball fan recognizes those three names, I should not know an umpire. But when I know an umpire, it's not because he's great. I know an umpire because you're irritated because of the mistakes.
Great point. Nobody said, wow, he's a great umpire. You never know who the great umpire is because you never hear his name.
Don, that's why you're here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you watched Gary Sanchez yesterday, he was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts in the 9th inning against Pete Fairbanks. He was so overmatched that you felt sorry for him. He struck out on 3. He can't get around on a fastball anymore. I don't know what's happened to this guy. And the Yankees could spin this whichever way they want. So they've spun that Higashioka is a personal catcher of Gerrit Cole. The fact that Higashioka is starting tonight against Charlie Morton, who does not throw as hard as Glasnow or Snell, Gary Sanchez has now lost his number one job. That's all there is to it. If the Yankees end up going to the World Series, will we see him? Yeah, we'll see him because there's no off days. No catcher catches every single day. The fact that Higashioka is in such a monumentally big game tonight, Gary Sanchez, I'm sure much to the delight of most Yankee fans, has now officially lost his job.
Yeah, I think you're right because it's not like Castillo against Voit where you knew he was overmatched because he just doesn't see him, right? So he didn't stand a chance. Historically, he didn't stand a chance. I think he was 0-for-6 going into that at bat. Sanchez, that was just country hardball. There wasn't anything to be fooled by. He just reared back.
It is.
And he couldn't afford to throw anything else. Like I think it was Brian Anderson who brought the point, like he's throwing fastballs. Now could be the time for something else. Darling's like, he doesn't have anything else. He's got to throw a fastball. You know the fastball's coming. And he couldn't get around on it. Because he couldn't dare. He couldn't find the strike zone, Michael, with pretty much everything. So he had to throw fastballs there. That's why going into the at-bat, Michael, I'm thinking this is perfect for Sanchez to like launch one 500 feet because this is, for a Major League Baseball player, you couldn't ask for a better at-bat. You know what's coming. And he still struck him out on 3 pitches.
One thing that I found silly, I got into a little bit of an argument on Twitter because my favorite thing now has been after most of Stanton's home runs, jumping on Twitter and saying, hey, Yankees fans, do you still hate Stanton? And I found a couple of people who threw him into the conversation with Gary. Like, they're both indicative of this sort of Yankees belief in people who aren't good anymore. And Michael, you would agree, Stanton's nowhere even in a similar class to where Gary is. I mean, Stanton, if you look at Stanton, yes, he's been hurt a lot. And I know he's been disappointing relative to the MVP who he was before he got here. But when he's playing, you're talking about a guy who's batting minimum 250. They're not in the same stratosphere.
You're talking about one of the top players in baseball, if he's healthy. And now for 2 years, he hasn't been able to be on the field. The first year with the Yankees, he hit 38 home runs and 100 ribbies. And he was playing on one leg.
And then last year, he was gone all year. And this year, he's been injury-ridden as well. And when he's been there, he's been okay. But we're comparing it to someone who, by all normal measurements, appears to have sort of forgotten how to play baseball.
Yeah, it's unbelievable because the Yankees are, in fact, choosing to go with a 186 career hitter in Kyle Higashioka. So it's not like they're turning to Johnny Bench or Thurman Munson. And this is not a knock on Higashioka, who's, you know, he's been a backup catcher. He's 30 years old. And he's shown promise in the minors, but he's a 186 lifetime hitter in the big leagues. That's who they're turning to. That's how much Sanchez has struggled. All right, T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. And we start with Mark in Westport. Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Best show on the radio. Couple of things about the game, obviously, with the computer guys. First of all, they're taking the fun out of the game. With the strikeouts and walks, for, you know, we don't have balls in play anyway. And now with these computer decisions, it's not fun to watch a lot of these games. I can't believe Aaron Boone would agree with this. He played the game. I mean, the whole year, you see how they rest guys. You know, Judge could hit three home runs, and then he rests the next day. So how does that make sense? And I can't be convinced that Aaron Boone thinks that's good strategy, you know, to do that. But someone punching a computer says that Aaron Boone doesn't hit this guy. He might have hit three home runs. He might hit two home runs the day before. You know, Gleyber Torres is on the DL for 2 weeks, and then he plays one game, and then he's rested. So how does this make sense? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, let's put it this way, Mark. I have the utmost respect in Boone's baseball knowledge, but we have seen that in the world now. There are people that, because of the job they have, you know they're saying things that they don't believe. But that's their job. We're seeing
that's
it in
exactly
politics on both sides.
See, that's what's so gutless about analytics to me. Because there wasn't anybody that truly made that decision that's held accountable for it last night, except the manager. Because that's the design.
Right, that's the rules manager, of engagement. He's the guy who's going to take the hit.
Right. The manager is going to be the one that's going to be the messenger. And who gets shot? The messenger. So eventually, he'll get fired if the Yankees don't win. But the analytics guys will tell you, like, remember when I joked, Michael, with my picks, I would have picked the Cowboys again. That's the way they are.
Yeah.
Hey, we would have done the exact same thing. Just didn't work out. They didn't execute, but the numbers tell us that was the right thing to do. So they stand by the numbers, never held accountable. You don't even know who they are. You don't see them on camera. They don't have a press conference when they're hired or fired. But it's the manager that's got to sit there. I don't know if Boone has a say or not. I mean, you'd like to think he does, Michael. Is he on board? Is he fighting tooth and nail in the room? Is he even allowed in the room? I don't know. But managers are not designed to have that much of a say. The days of, you know, Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver are over. He is a messenger, and it's sad that people that know the game, I mean, Ron Darling and Anderson are talking during the game about, I can't believe Boone did that. That was a curious decision by Boone. That's not Boone's decision, but he's the face of it. He's the one that's got to answer it in the post-game press conference. He's got to be the one that owns it. And he'll eventually be the one that gets fired because of it.
Which would be hypocritical to the nth degree. Let's go to Don in Patterson. Don?
Hey, love the show, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks.
18 strikeouts. That was pretty bad, too. I mean, but you can tell. You can't blame Boone. You see him at the press conference after the game. He's like, oh, I got to defend this now. You know, you can tell his body language. He had nothing to do with all those pitchers yesterday and putting them in. So I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I'm loath to say he's not a puppet. He's not a puppet. He manages the game. He's a really smart guy. He manages that room, and that's part of the rules of engagement. But the way baseball's structured right now, we have no idea who to blame. Maybe they set it up that way. But as I said earlier, let all the computer people, they should have at the end of the year, a press conference so everybody can see the faces of the people that they don't like. The guys that are really pulling the strings here. Let's see them. Now, we see Brian. Brian's very open, and he highly supports this. But let's see the guys that are the faces behind the iPads that are walking around the clubhouse telling a player, this is the way you attack this pitcher. And they're sitting there around a table with Boone and Cashman. This is what we should do. This is the let's start Davey Garcia, and then we'll bring in Hap, and that'll flip the.
Yeah.
Let's see them. I'm not saying that you want them to be a pinata, but I would like to really hear the reason behind, other than, you know what, you know, we thought we'd get length with Tanaka. By the way, hasn't gone more than five innings, I think, his last four starts. So that's why we didn't want to start him in game two. You're still going to have to get 12 outs out of the bullpen tonight.
But I wonder, Michael, is it a person? Like, did you see the movie War Games? Peter, you know the game, the
show
we're talking about.
No,
War Games. Okay, Matthew Broderick, okay?
No, I did not. I remember it vaguely.
Right. There was a computer that simulates World War III. It was called the Whopper. right? And it simulates all the different strategies if ever Russia launched a missile at us.
How you gotta make him eat the Whopper.
Is all of this information being fed into a computer and then spits it out? Like, do they simulate, all right, series up 1-0, we're going to do all these things, and it simulates the game 1,000 times and then spits out, your best chance to win is if you go with an opener with Garcia starting and Hap coming out. Where they have people that feed the computer the numbers, but the number is the one that spits out these simulations, and then they go with what it tells you. That if we do this 1,000 times, 750 times, we'll win it, and that's why we're going to go with that. So there is really no one to answer it, because there's just people that formulate the numbers, but it's the formulation, it's the computer, it's the system that spits out the number on what they're supposed to do. That's what it sounds like to me, almost. Like you said, they play the game out numerous times. Who's playing it out? People or computer simulation?
It's not Stratomatic. I think that there definitely have to be people that in fact interpret what the computer spits out. That's what they're interpreting.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
3-2 on the way, and Margot swings and sends one to deep center. Hicks backs, turns, gone!
The Yankees wanted to show you that they are the smartest guy in the room.
Another home run for the Rays.
Yeah, this has backfired on Aaron Boone and the Yankees, this opener go to Jay Happ.
They were just a little too cute.
Felt like going to go to Jay pretty early and aggressively, as long as they went with the heavy lefty lineup.
You're treating the Tampa Bay Rays lineup as if it's the Yankee lineup. They don't scare anybody.
You're not playing three-dimensional chess. You're playing baseball.
But if they end up losing this series, mark my words, everyone in baseball will point to what happened yesterday and go, that's where it turned. That's where they gave the Rays life.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And the K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So the game starts tonight at 7, and we'll have the game right here on 98.7 ESPN. The pregame show starts at 6. This is essentially a four-hour pregame show for the Yankee game tonight. Aaron Boone is meeting with the media right now in San Diego and told them what I told you last night and what I told you even yesterday. Jordan Montgomery is the official starter for game 4. And Jordan Montgomery has pretty good stuff, but he did not pitch great this year. And now your whole season could be riding on Jordan Montgomery. He would not comment on game 5 and who would start that, but obviously it's going to be Cole.
Yeah.
And that's why when we handicap this postseason, the no days off really played against the Yankee strengths. It just did. Do they have enough starting pitching? Well, if you don't, well, you got to find it. And if they move to the next round, that's 7 days in a row. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, without a day off. I don't know if they have the artillery to get through that sort of battlefield. I just don't know.
And when you consider the offensive teams that they will face beyond this, looks like they'll face the Astros if they get beyond this round. I think the Astros are a better hitting team than the Rays are. And if you're fortunate enough to get to the World Series, whether it be the Braves or the Dodgers, they're an amazing offensive team, especially the Dodgers. So if you don't have enough pitching, Michael, and now you're going to have to win 4 games.
Yep.
In the next 2 rounds in order to win the championship. So, hey, you know, we were talking about an operational Death Star yesterday. And everybody was excited, and I think we wanted you to pump the brakes because there was, right, Peter, where there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. But as great an offense as they are, you're not winning a championship if you've got to score 7-plus runs a game to do it. And if you're going to have these holes in your rotation, Michael, I don't know. I think this is a sport now where you can bash your way to a championship, but at some point you still have to pitch well. You still have to get good starts. You just can't, especially playing every single day, just get 15 outs a day out of your bullpen.
Now, Boone also said that Davey Garcia, quote, will probably, close quote, be available tomorrow. Okay, how? To do what?
Well, because maybe Montgomery ends up being, you know, if Montgomery's not great, then you're going to have to you're going to have to start going to guys that aren't your typical bullpen. So would it be a situation?
I know, but then what have you done in 2 days? You've taken him out of his comfort zone twice.
Well,
now he's going to be a reliever tomorrow? A 21-year-old who's a starter.
You also mentioned, Michael, I don't know if you saw this, he was asked about the catching situation, and he says it's day-to-day.
Yeah, so am I.
So he didn't say that Higgy's now the starting catcher, but it'll be day-to-day. Well, you know he's going to catch. You know that Sanchez isn't catching a potential game five because that would be Cole, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He said that the move over Gary was, quote, more about what Kyle has done. It's more Higgy earning more opportunities, and he's earned his way in there today.
Well,
it'll be day-to-day with the catching decision. But it's not about as well as Higashioka has done. I don't think that's true. It's about Gary Sanchez being unable to get out of his own way. So this decision isn't about Higgy, because if it was about what Higgy did, then why didn't he start yesterday?
Right.
I mean, I know what Aaron's trying to do. He's trying to spin this so it doesn't make Sanchez look as if he's benched. But let me tell you, I'll let you in on a little secret, everybody. He's benched. He's benched because of ineptitude, that he hit 147 this year, and yesterday he had no chance against a fastball. I was once told by somebody, if you can't hit a fastball in the big leagues, you're not a big leaguer. Yeah, some people have trouble with sliders and curves or whatever. No one should have trouble with a fastball. That's the one pitch that you hit. That's the hand-eye coordination that gets you to the big leagues. When you can't even hit a fastball, that's somewhat troubling.
And boy, was there a missed opportunity in the ninth. Because, I mean, they did get a run. And it's not just Judge grounding out, Michael. It's Sanchez striking out.
Yep.
Right? It's Frazier striking out.
And, of course, LeMahieu got a hit. Of course.
But, of course. But you know what? And you can't kill him because he had such a great game. Stanton missed a slider, a really juicy slider.
That came in the eighth.
Was that the eighth inning?
Right. The ninth inning was the last out was Judge.
What? I'm trying to think. Was Stanton?
Stanton was the last out of the eighth inning.
Right. That was the one where he missed, because that was Castillo.
But he didn't
right?
really miss it, if you think, because he hit a blinding line drive to Arozarena and left. He did strike out in the sixth. Maybe you're thinking of that.
Yeah, because it's 4 hours of baseball to dissect. So
every day.
And you're not keeping score like I am, because I would never remember it if I didn't have a score.
Yeah, but there's a couple of missed opportunities there, even offensively, because it was Stanton really carried him. I mean, it was all Stanton until the LeMahieu RBI single in the ninth. But still a missed opportunity, right? Because the two walks, and then because of C.B. Buckner's ridiculous strike zone, now they've got to expand, and that's why they struck out 18 times.
So,
God, it was a home run or strikeout last night, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Also, I mean, we were very excited that the game one of the Cleveland series, we all were very psyched about the start of Judge in the playoffs. And now, I don't know, I'm a little concerned about old Judgy.
2-for-19, Peter.
Batting 100?
Yeah.
Not what you want.
It's not what you want. 2-for-19 with, where is it? I have it here. 8 strikeouts and the 2 hits, both home runs. I mean, big home runs, but he does not look as if he's Aaron Judge just yet. We broke it down at yes. Do you know that there was a period of time, 5 weeks, he played one game and then got taken out right away because he re-injured himself. So he was 2 weeks on the IL, came back for a game, got taken out of the game, and 3 more weeks. That's a lot of rust, a lot. He came back on September 16th, well ahead of when he would have come back if he really had a minor leagues to work himself out of, you know, work his swing in. So they need him. Everything plays off of him as well. A couple of other things going on, and we'll take some phone calls as well. We're all excited about the NBA Finals maybe being a series. Well, that kind of ended because LeBron took over, and the Lakers are now one game away from a title. So the Heat were in it. They played a spirited game, but LeBron's just too good. So now it's 3-1, 1 game away. They win the championship. I give credit for Adam Silver or to Adam Silver for making this happen and getting through to the finals and having it done. And we piggyback from that to what's going on in the NFL right now. And Peter, I mean, they're kind of on a COVID watch for Patrick Mahomes right now.
Well, yeah, because of Gilmore in New England testing positive, and now everyone looking at this video of Gilmore in Mahomes' face on Monday.
And after the game, as like, you know, when they talk after a game.
Yeah, like, but they were literally face-to-face. Yeah. I mean, a very intimate conversation like you would see football players have after a game. But, you know, it just, what I ended up thinking about was the NFL is pretty amazing. I mean, the cojones to even still have the game on Monday. It's really only a move you'd see the NFL make.
They answered to no one.
They delayed it by one day. The starting quarterback of one of the players, you found out 2 days earlier he tested positive. So you could almost bet that other players will test positive. But they didn't get any of those tests yet, so they pushed forward with the game on Monday. And now we'll see.
Yeah. Because now you're not talking about – you're talking about some stars now. I mean, if this derails Kansas City season – and also there's evidence now that the number of Titans that tested positive was because they violated protocol. You can't punish them more harshly if you're the NFL. I mean, you've got to cripple them draft-wise. It's so dicey to begin with. You put these protocols together, and then you violate the protocols, and then like 10 players test positive, and now you're screwing everything up because now they didn't play against Pittsburgh, so they moved that to a mutual bye week. They changed Pittsburgh's bye week, so they're going to make that up later in the month. But now the game on Sunday against Buffalo is compromised. When are you making that up? Because now you don't have the luxury of the bye, so you're probably going to have to tack on another week to the season to make that game up. It's unfair to the Bills.
So true.
So
the NFL could be in serious trouble, and their doctor was on with Judy Batista today on the NFL Network and said, you know what? The possibility of a pause is there. They may have to pause the season. And we've said this a lot. They have the maneuverability. They can play the Super Bowl whenever they want. So if you pause the season, you pause the season. And I don't think you could have a bubble of 32 teams, but you could have each team in an individual bubble where they can't go home. But I don't know if players are going to want to do that. That's a long time to be away from your family.
I know, but I understand that. But now we've already played a month of the season, and they're obviously not going to do anything for this week. So now you're talking, you're 5 weeks into the season.
Mm-hmm.
So if they paused it for, say, a month and decided to come back a month from now, you can't in that month figure out a way to bubble the rest of the regular season. You're gonna have to bubble the postseason. You're just going to have to because you can't afford to postpone playoff games. So you'd say to the players, you want to finish this thing. All right, you can opt out if you like. We'll give you a second opportunity to opt out. But we're going to pause for a month, and we're going to make up the 11 games in a bubble or some kind of facsimile of a bubble. I mean, I know you probably can't do what the NHL and the NBA did, but you can probably do what baseball's doing now.
Right. But you're still going to have to travel. You can't bubble everybody in the same
right,
city.
Right, but what you do is you pause for a month, all right? And then the final 2 weeks of the month, you quarantine the players so that you know that when you come out of that month, everybody tests negative. Now you're in a hotel. You're only allowed to go to the hotel, practice in your practice facility, plane, go to the game. And that's the way you do it. And
now,
if this is what you tell the teams, because the NFL has this power. You tell the teams, if anybody breaks protocol, you lose your first-round pick. And you will lose two picks after that for every other player that breaks protocol. So you don't think they'll clamp down on the players then if picks are going to be flushed down the toilet? And Goodell's got that kind
that
of power.
What was told to us, you know, a football team has such discipline. They have no time to do anything. Please, that's just nonsense. And also, they're going home to their families. Their families are on quarantine. Their families are going out. So whatever the family might get, they might get, even if they're being vigilant. They're not wearing a mask at home.
I'm being
as vigilant as I could, but once the kids go to school, I mean, the bubble has been burst. So I'm not wearing a mask at home.
And you say the players don't want to do it, Michael. By the time the NBA and the NHL bubbles were done, they spent, approximately 9 weeks in the bubble. So we're right. Asking the players to spend 11 weeks to finish the regular season. Teams that make the playoffs would obviously have to extend that a little bit longer. Hey, do you want to finish what you started or not? So
Patrick
I hope it
Mahomes
doesn't get to that, but that's what you have to do.
Called it a little bit of a mental lapse that he got close to Stephon Gilmore after Monday's game. I was just trying to show respect to a great football player. Hope is getting better very quickly. I'll just try to keep away from that and try not to do it again. Well, let's cross our fingers that Mahomes doesn't have it.
But that has to end too,
Gilmore,
now, right?
And Gilmore, sorry, Don, and Gilmore said, he put out a message on Twitter, I believe, saying, expressing that he wanted people to take this very seriously because he said he's followed absolutely every protocol and still got it.
Yeah, but did everybody on his team follow the protocol?
Well, that's...
See, that's the thing. It's not just about the decisions you make. It's the decisions everybody else in that room makes. And that's the other thing that's got to go away, right, Peter? Game over. Just go your separate ways.
Yeah,
no,
stop
hugging,
hugging.
And
yeah, I never liked it anyway. Stop it.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's so hard, though. Once these guys are out there, they're so close to each other. They're tackling each other. I think they have a certain attitude of, like, we've already been so close. Screw it. But let's be honest. There's a real difference between tackling someone with your helmets on, it lasting 2 seconds and you jump up, and having an extended conversation face-to-face after a game. It's totally different.
The Jets are not playing Sam Darnold this week, which makes the decision to put him back in the game seem even more curious. So Joe Flacco is going to start against the Cardinals. Now, it would be a bad look for Darnold if Flacco wins this game against a beatable Cardinal team. But I'm not going to scream at the top of the mountain, but you guys know how I feel. This is your franchise. There's no other way around it. He is the face of the Jets. If he's not who they thought he was, they've got more years of rebuilding. And you're putting him in a game after he gets slammed down on his throwing shoulder and said to us that he had pain in the shoulder in the second half, and now he's not playing this week because of the shoulder still ailing. What does that make the Jets and their doctors look like? It makes them look like fools.
You know, Keyshawn tried to kind of downplay it and say that, hey, you're the quarterback. The quarterback's more important than the coach. I don't know if that's the case in this situation.
Gase says, Don, he's in a lot of pain. That's what it is. He can raise his arm to a certain degree, but to go out and practice, it would be very difficult for him right now. Really? How do you think it got like that, you clowns?
They shot him up. They shot him up. They shot their franchise quarterback up to try to win a game to save a coach's job, didn't win the game, because how can you tell me he was able to throw in the second half, Michael? How can you tell me that?
Gase goes, doctors thought that was the right thing to do, sending him back in. He wanted to go back in. We knew what it was. Obviously, after the game the next day, he was a lot more sore than he was in real time. I don't care what he wanted to do. You're the coach. You think Bill Belichick listens to players?
When do you ever hear that? He wanted to go back in.
All players want to go back in, and they did the same thing with Becton.
And I know yesterday we talked to Keyshawn, and football players will sometimes almost overcomplicate it and make it sound like, oh, it just sounds. But what's the other explanation? What is the other explanation why he comes back in as opposed to they find out it hurts and he goes, oh, really? You're hurting. You're really hurting yet, coach? I want to play, but it hurts. Hey, listen, this isn't the game for you, buddy. Hey, Flacco, get on in here. That's why you're here.
Well, what Key said was, did they x-ray it? Did they see that there was any damage to the shoulder? Well, no, they didn't. So they had no idea if there was or wasn't. The fact is he was in pain. You saw the way the arm was hanging when he went to the sidelines, right? So they probably gave him a cortisone shot. That made the pain go away so that he was able to get through the second half, and then we'll see we'll analyze it later. So now you analyze it later, the pain comes back. You can't keep shooting cortisone in. That's a bad idea. Now the pain comes back. So there could be really a lot of damage in there. And he could have hurt himself worse. That's the other thing I don't understand. Couldn't hurt himself any worse. Why not?
What a mess. More of a mess in Washington, Peter. This makes, for once, Dave Gettleman look good. He didn't like Dwayne Haskins to draft. Passed him. Now Dwayne Haskins is the third quarterback for the Washington football team.
Yep. Benched today in favor of Kyle Allen, who Ron Rivera liked in Carolina and picked up as the backup. But then they move Alex Smith to second string.
Wow.
And Dwayne Haskins all the way to third string. So obviously a message being sent by Rivera about Haskins' attitude. I'll tell you right now, Gettleman did not mess this up. I mean, we can't say yet where Daniel Jones will be, but I felt very quickly in the first preseason last year that when things unfolded in both Washington and New York, that I was jealous of Daniel Jones. I thought that was the better pick, not just the way he throws the ball, but his approach, his attitude. You guys remember, Haskins finally gets a win in Washington. They can't find him for victory formation because he's taking a selfie with the crowd. You know, this past Sunday, two Sundays ago, he throws three picks in Cleveland, supposedly didn't take any blame after the game. And then this past Sunday, and I don't even know if this was a story, I just observed it watching, while getting crushed, he was just laughing on the sideline. He's just not the guy. Haskins is not the guy. I think the real storyline now is, when does Alex Smith come all the way back from nearly dying on an operating table to starting
in the
NFL?
What a story.
It would be just absolutely the story of the year. It really would be. And I'm rooting for him to be able to do just that. But back to the Giants for a second. Remember, it wasn't just the Giants not drafting him. It was, you know, there were people throwing around. It was race-related because he couldn't be the face of the franchise. So people thought it was because they wouldn't want to make an African-American quarterback the face of their franchise. This is what I think they were talking about when they said, or the feeling was, he could not be the face of a franchise. This is, I think they're vindicated for that because clearly he can't be. Not to be taking selfies before victory formation and not in the holding not being held accountable for his mistakes.
Well, and let's be clear. Rivera is clearly stating here, when you bench a quarterback at this juncture, and Washington, I think their next four opponents are like a combined 4-12, okay? They believe the division's up for grabs, with good reason. The division's terrible. So they're looking around at what their defense looks like. In Terry McLaurin, they finally have a legit receiver. And they're thinking, you know what? This division stinks. We could win. And we don't think we can win with this kid. So they would rather give it a shot with either Kyle Allen, who has limited experience, or Alex Smith, who was physically completely knocked out of football. And this is crushing for Haskins' future career. I mean, how do you bounce back from basically in your second year? They feel, and Don, I don't know if you looked at some of like the stats on Dwayne Haskins. When you really look at the measurable stuff, he's really bad.
Now, one more thing about the Jets. So Gase was asked today, is there going to be any different game plan with Flacco starting? No change at all. Oh, okay. A 35-year-old who has the mobility of a statue.
Right.
Against a 23 or 24-year-old who runs like the wind, the same game plan, right, Adam? The same one. You're not going to change a thing. You think they have different skill sets? Maybe? Maybe.
Well, I'm not going to buy that answer because he could be just playing coy. So it makes them think that it's going to be the same game plan and they go with something else. But we'll see it. We'll be able to judge it on Sunday, whether he was telling the truth or not. But it is possible that he's just not going to admit that there are going to be changes.
Well, you know, if we see Sunday that the offense is unimaginative and simple and vanilla, he didn't change a thing.
It might just end up looking that way because you're talking about a quarterback that might be shot.
Well, but right? You have a quarterback that's your franchise quarterback and he looks terrible in this offense.
So, but you're right. This would really look bad if Flacco goes out there, throws for like 350 and four touchdowns. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, what's going on here? But
and finally,
I don't think that's going to happen.
For those that wonder, do big-time stars run teams? Well, J.J. Watt, it has been reported, had a blowout with Bill O'Brien during practice. And a source told Diana Rossini that incident was when O'Brien, quote, lost the team. If you lose J.J. Watt, it's like if you lose Cronkite, you lose your job.
That's right. That's
sure. All it is. I mean, we get mad that, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are running the Nets. That's the way of the world. That the stars run their team. So when J.J. Watt runs out of patience with Bill O'Brien, you know what happens? Bill O'Brien gets sent packing. There's no question about it. The star is the star. The only guy that I think that survives that trumps a star is Belichick because he's the biggest star. Now that Brady's gone, he's the biggest star on the Patriots.
And let's face it, they could talk all they want about a football decision or the picks and all that. I mean, Hopkins was probably traded for the reason that he didn't get along with Bill either.
Right?
Yeah. Because that wasn't his type of player. So, yeah, you're Lucy. If I'm sitting there, if I'm owning the Texans, I'm like, well, you traded our wide receiver away. You're alienating one of the best defenders in the sport. I mean, give me a break here.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to Sal in the car. Sal.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Even better. Because over this weekend I was in Jersey, I had $12 left in my FanDuel, and I decided to take each of you up on your bet and see who was going to be a lucky winner. And I was calling you to say thank you, Michael. You made me some money.
deeply.
Oh, you're welcome. It was really my pleasure. And what everybody should realize is to tune in tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, because RJ Bell has started off the season 4-0, a perfect 4-0. Please don't lose sight of that. Please, Tyler in Yonkers. Tyler.
Mike, how are you? First time, long time. Quick, real quick points. I don't understand the lack of accountability. We're still playing the game of baseball, and isn't Boone supposed to know baseball and lifer, all of that? And now all of a sudden you make decisions like this at this point. The decision I'm referring to, obviously, is taking out Davey.
But
somebody's head's got to roll. And if it's
Tyler,
not him.
Come on.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Why do you think that's his decision?
All right, fine. Then don't we as fans deserve to know whose idea it was to take out Davey and put in Jay Happ?
It's the analytic group.
Somebody's head's got to roll.
Would you fire somebody for that move?
This is a series-altering move. Absolutely. The amount of hours I've invested as a fan and all of us have, we deserve to know whose decision this was. Don't we? How am I wrong in this?
Well, I think that I understand what you're saying, Tyler, and I can't say you're wrong, because in the past, sports fans knew exactly who to put on their dartboard. And in baseball now, it is very, very cloudy. You don't know who to put on your dartboard.
You know, this frustrates me, though. He obviously is a fan of the sport. He says he invests hours upon hours watching Yankee baseball. How can you follow baseball, care about your team that much, and blame Aaron Boone yesterday for that when you know how it works? And analytics are perfect. They can't be touched. They never are held accountable because they're just sheer numbers. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if they would do it again, because that's what the numbers tell them to do. So I don't know why everybody. I understand you want somebody's head on a platter. You don't know these people. There might be 20 people that made that decision yesterday. That's what's frustrating about it. I get it, but there's never an accountability when it comes to analytics.
That's why I really believe. You know, people thought I was joking earlier. They should put the analytic guys on the Zoom call. Tell me exactly why you made this decision. Tell me the numbers that led you guys to make this. It's not a terrible thing. Nobody's looking to hang anybody, but it does. Instead of putting Aaron Boone in that situation, I know that you'd probably say if you're the Yankees, he's getting paid close to $1 million a year to be put in that situation. Those are the rules of engagement.
But if you really want to blame someone, honestly, if you really want to be upset, is be upset at why they were forced to go that way. Why are they light on pitching? That's why, if you really want to kill somebody, I guess you can kill Brian Cashman. Like Jeff Passan said, why have they just had this inability to nurture starting pitching and bring somebody up and become dominant? Why is it always having to go acquire that pitcher? And they went out and got Cole. Good thing they did, Michael. Otherwise, they'd be in a lot of trouble right now. Why are they light pitching? Why, with a $200 million payroll, are they light pitching? They traded for Happ. That was a mistake. He has not been big in the postseason since they traded for him.
And then they re-signed him.
And they re-signed him. They knew CeCe was going to retire, right?
Yep.
They brought Garcia up here. They lost faith in a guy that's their guy. Montgomery, the same thing.
He never gave them anything to lose faith in him. He's too young. He's done a good job. There's no reason to lose faith. Casey and Syosset. Casey.
Hi, Michael. So this is to, I guess, piggyback from the last caller. I'm kind of surprised how you and Don immediately always say, no, it's the analytics department. How do you know that?
Because we know. Did you see the post game yesterday?
Is there a possibility that Boone had this idea?
No. I mean, is it a possibility that it wouldn't be an idea that they would let him unilaterally make the decision? They'd run numbers on it. So, no, I would bet a lot of money that this was an organizational decision. He even said that after the game, and he never wants to admit it, because who wants to admit that they don't have the power that managers had in the past? He said, we all got together and threw this out there. And the numbers were wrong. That's what baseball is right now. Casey, why do you want it to be Boone? I don't get it. It's not enough to you that the decision was a poor one. You need to have somebody to put in the crosshairs.
Well, this is their sign that he has to start managing in real time, because Kevin Cash managed in real time, and he let his pitchers stay on the mound until they gave him a reason to take the pitcher out.
I will tell you this, Casey. With all due respect, there is not an organization that is more reliant on analytics and scripts a game more than the Tampa Bay Rays.
Dude.
Please. When you ask me how I know. You hear things. I know.
Well, but why else? And this is not to devalue Aaron Boone. But why else would a team that's mission statement to win a championship give that to somebody who never managed before? Because he's going to get a tremendous amount of help because a lot of the decisions are made within the organization. When are people going to realize that I love baseball too, but it's not going to go back to what we grew up with? The days of Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver and even Mike Socia and Bruce Bochy are now over. All right? It's a different sport now. Nobody's sacrificing. Nobody's playing small ball. This is home runs, strikeouts, analytically driven sport. Stop. Don't make it into something that it's not. Just accept it.
Said at the beginning of the show, one of the brightest baseball minds I've ever met, and everybody knows it, is Buck Showalter. There's a chance he might not ever manage again because he doesn't fit. He's not going to let people with an iPad tell him who to start. He's just not.
But
he'll take all the information. He loves information. He's sick about it. But he wants to employ it the way he wants to employ it. I once asked him, if your gut says go one way, the numbers say go the other way. He said, I go with my gut. That's not allowed.
But I do feel like you guys are kind of like, you're expecting people to not be annoyed about it, even though you're also annoyed about it.
But be annoyed about it, but don't just automatically just try to make up a story in which Boone's responsible so you can have one person to hate.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's lazy. It's lazy. But
that's
I do
all
understand.
We're saying. And I don't like it, Peter.
Decision,
I don't like
Peter.
It.
I hate the decision. I honestly, think the computer spit out a it was like a virus that came out. That's how bad
it
was.
I do not enjoy this sport the way I used to. This is not the game that I fell in love with. It is morphed into something completely different, all right? But I'm not going to try to make it something it's not. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't exist. Analytics drive me up a wall. It drives me crazy. But I'm not going to pretend that it's one person's fault and blame Aaron Boone.
If you want, like, Rob Manfred is always looking for ways to better the sport. Three batters have to be faced by one pitcher. The whole thing. We know all the rules. If he could somehow wave a magic wand and outlaw analytics, it would make the sport better. I'm sorry, it would. I understand analytics help you win, but it has created a game that's not nearly as entertaining as the previous game, where people were on base and running bases and get base hits and ball was put in play. Now it's a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. That's not entertaining. It might be more conducive to winning because they figured it out. The computers have told them this is, in fact, the case. Right. If Rob Manfred could somehow make a commissioner wave of the hand and go, that's it, analytics are done from this sport, the sport would be diametrically better.
And Michael, I don't know. I didn't look at the ratings. The ratings overall haven't been great. But if I didn't have a dog in the fight, if I didn't do a show in New York, I don't know if I'd hang 4 hours and watch that game. But Yankee fans are going to watch it, and I do a sport, so I love talking about it. But I think it's done some damage. I think it does. And I don't want to sound like the old man in the room, because I hear a lot of young people, too, sounding very frustrated about this. Because they grew up. This is not something that's existed for 20 years, Michael.
This helps you win. It doesn't help the sport. There's got to be some line drawn there. It helps you win over the long haul. It does not help the sport.
But I've asked this question a million times, right, Peter? If everybody's doing it, not everybody can win. It can't work for everybody. So
that's why you try to be the smartest guy.
Well, why instead of being the smartest guy, why not just maybe go with an instinct? Rely on a manager that's been through the wars to say, I think we could do this a little bit better. I don't want to sound like the Steve Young, but can I kind of trust the guys that have been in that room and have done it instead of the guys that are in a boardroom and are playing Strat-O-Matic?
It's sad. I mean, there are real sad things in the world, but when it comes to baseball, no. This has not helped the sport at all. It's not as watchable as it used to be. It's kind of depressing. 18 strikeouts. Nobody's ever done that in a postseason game before. Yankees struck out 18 times with some help from C.B. Buckner, but they struck out 18 times. That's unacceptable. The urgency to put the ball in play. Everybody talks, well, DJ LeMay is an analytic player. No, he's not. He's the opposite of an analytic player. He doesn't have a swing angle that they want. He doesn't strike out or hit home runs. He puts the ball in play. You can't even shift against him.
And what does that tell you, Michael? I don't think there's a Yankee I'd want up in a big spot more than him.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.